Hi, I'm Stephanie Kelton.
And I'm Jeremy Olshan. We're the hosts of the new podcast from MarketWatch, The Best New Ideas in Money.
The pandemic showed many of us that it's possible to work from home, but that's not the only change the workforce has seen.
This week, we're looking at companies who are experimenting with the four-day work week and how it could massively change how we live and work.
Listen to The Best New Ideas in Money, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, January 4th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. The verdict is in. Theranos founder Elizabeth Holmes has been found guilty on 4 of the 11 charges brought against her over a scheme to defraud investors. She could face up to 20 years in prison for each count. The verdict caps a remarkable fall for the former Silicon Valley darling who promised to remake the blood testing industry with her technology. On today's show, reporter Sarah Randazzo, who's been covering the 15-week trial in California for us, will break down the decision and what it says about Silicon Valley's fake-it-till-you-make-it culture. That's after these headlines. Apple became the first U.S. company to reach $3 trillion in market value yesterday, albeit briefly. The company's shares hit an intraday high of $182.88 before falling back down to close just over $182 a share, bringing the company back below the $3 trillion mark. The company's share price has more than tripled since the pandemic lows of March 2020, helped along by a pandemic surge that carried it and other large tech companies to massive profits. Meanwhile, India's antitrust regulator has opened an investigation into how Apple runs its App Store. The probe was sparked by a complaint from an Indian nonprofit group alleging that the 30% fee that Apple charges developers for selling digital content through their apps harms software makers and stifles competition. Apple has denied the claims, saying it's focused on making its devices as attractive as possible to consumers. Apple is already facing challenges on how it runs its App Store from European Union and Dutch regulators, as well as lawmakers in South Korea. Tesla says it's handed over the keys to more than 936,000 new electric vehicles worldwide last year. That's an 87% jump. The company was able to leverage its Silicon Valley roots to overcome the chip shortage that plagued other car makers. CEO Elon Musk said Tesla used in-house software engineers to quickly rewrite software, allowing the company to use alternative chips in its vehicles and keep production lines running. All right, coming up, she was once widely hailed as the youngest self-made female billionaire. Now she faces the possibility of decades in prison. But will the conviction of Elizabeth Holmes change anything for Silicon Valley? We'll discuss after the break. We've been talking for months about the trial of Theranos founder Elizabeth Holmes, and yesterday, the jury finally reached its verdict. It was mixed. Holmes was convicted of 3 counts of fraud and 1 count of conspiracy. Holmes, you may remember, was once a Silicon Valley darling. She claimed to have developed technology that would upend the blood testing business and the healthcare industry itself. She got attention and a lot of money from some pretty big investors. At one point, Theranos was valued at more than $9 billion. Of course, that all came crashing down when it was revealed the technology didn't work as promised, placing investors' cash and patients' health at risk. 3.5 years ago, she was indicted on 11 counts of fraud and conspiracy. It was a rare fraud prosecution of a technology executive. The question at the heart of the trial was whether Holmes's hubris went beyond typical Silicon Valley hype. But the question now is, will her conviction have an impact on the tech world's fake-it-till-you-make-it culture? Our reporter Sarah Randazzo has been covering the trial in San Jose, California, and joins us now. Hi, Sarah. Thanks for being here.
Sure thing.
So first off, can you just kind of round up what she was convicted of? What was the decision here?
Yeah, it was a super mixed verdict. We had 11 counts remaining that the jury deliberated on. They found her guilty of conspiracy to commit wire fraud against investors, as well as 3 individual wire fraud counts against specific investors. They found her not guilty of conspiracy to commit wire fraud against patients, and also not guilty on 3 specific wire fraud counts against patients. And then they were undecided on 3 other specific investor-related counts. The jury said they just couldn't reach a unanimous decision. So those are essentially a mistrial on those 3 counts.
Tell me a little bit more about those 3 counts where they couldn't make a decision. What happens here and what happens next with those counts?
Yeah, so it's pretty interesting because there were six specific wire fraud counts related to investors, and they convicted her on three and were not guilty on the other three. So it seems like the jurors really went through each specific count, looked for evidence that they felt backed it up or didn't, and said, hey, on these three, you know, some of us think guilty, some of us think not, we just can't come to consensus. So the government can retry these counts, given the counts that they are and that they did get convictions on other investor counts and on the conspiracy count. It seems highly unlikely to me the government would, you know, invest the resources in a retrial when they already did get four convictions here, but technically those counts are still on the table.
You know, so during the trial, we saw Holmes take the stand in her own defense, and she accused her former boyfriend and former Theranos chief operating officer, Ramesh Sunny Balwani, of emotional and sexual abuse charges, we should note that he denies. But can you just remind us what those claims were and why they're relevant for the case?
Yeah, so in the end, I think they actually ended up not really being relevant to the jury's decision. When Elizabeth Holmes took the stand, she accused Mr. Balwani of some pretty terrible, you know, personal things in their relationship, of both sexual and mental, kind of emotional abuse. And in closing arguments, the government said to the jury, you know, you can believe her on these claims and still convict her. Kind of one doesn't have to do with the other. What happened in their relationship isn't relevant to what she did in her communications with investors and patients. And interestingly enough, the defense in their closing argument didn't even bring it up at all. The closing arguments are a time when you wrap up everything the jury has heard so they understand how to frame it when they're deliberating. And they just ignored completely these allegations that she'd brought up. So it almost seems like the defense didn't see how they were relevant to the jury either. So it was this huge bombshell that landed in the trial, but ultimately I have a feeling it didn't really weigh on the jury's deliberations.
And Balwani himself goes on trial in February. He's facing, 10 charges of fraud and 2 charges of conspiracy. How is Holmes's verdict and her testimony likely to affect that case?
Yeah, I'm sure that his lawyers are poring over this decision now, you know, trying to figure out what it means, what it could mean for his trial, which is, again, it's very similar charges to what Holmes faces. And so, you know, we'll see if maybe there'll be some kind of talks between Balwani and the government. Plea deals are always possible up until the last minute. Maybe because of these acquittals, they'll also feel emboldened to take their case to trial. So I feel like they'll probably be doing a lot of analysis in the coming weeks on that.
We heard, you know, not just from Holmes, but from a few patients, from investors. Were there other shocking revelations that came out of this? I mean, you were watching this trial for 15 weeks.
Yeah, I'd say some of the investors were really interesting to hear from, because it's a voice that in all the coverage that's come before from the Journal and others, we hadn't heard a lot of these investors speak about their own process being pitched by the company and what convinced them to invest. And it was interesting hearing from some of them of, you know, things that they asked for and didn't get answers on, or things that they just didn't ask for. And it was kind of crazy to hear some of these investors say, yeah, we just really took them at their word. We were so excited to invest. We didn't want to get uninvited to invest, so we didn't ask many questions because we didn't want to ruffle feathers. You know, things like that I felt like were interesting and things that we hadn't heard before, because really a lot of what came out at trial had been covered pretty extensively by the Journal.
I wonder, though, kind of given that testimony, given what happened with Theranos, if it's going to change at all how people invest in Silicon Valley, because they really just trusted Holmes and her vision.
Yeah, and I think that there's still probably a frothy investor climate, and people are probably still throwing money at startups, hoping it's the next big thing. I have a feeling not a ton will probably change, but, you know, maybe maybe some investors will think twice, especially on things like specific scientific, claims that could be vetted a little better. So I'm sure some investors will look at this and say, hey, we don't want to get duped and be a little more careful. But there's so much money lost in Silicon Valley investments because a lot of companies just fail for all kinds of reasons that I feel like some degree of, you know, investment failures is just commonplace.
All right. That's our reporter, Sarah Randazzo. Thanks so much for joining us, Sarah.
Thanks, Zoe.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.